Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Monday, the 19th of May, the Archbishop Emeritus of Bombay calls on India and Pakistan to find a path to enduring peace. Israel allows basic food supplies to enter Gaza following a 10-week blockade. But first, Pope Leo XIV meets with an ecumenical and interreligious delegation at the Vatican. In the Vatican, I'm Kelsey Gussie. On Monday, Pope Leo XIV held a special audience for ecumenical and interreligious delegations that took part in the solemn mass for the inauguration of his Petrine ministry. In his address, the Holy Father highlighted Pope Francis' emphasis on universal fraternity as a foundation for dialogue amongst Christians and with other religious believers. Christopher Wells tells us more.
Speaking first to churches and ecclesial communities not in full communion with the Catholic Church, Pope Leo took note of the 1700th anniversary of the Council of Nicaea, emphasizing that unity among Christians can only be unity in faith.
Riconosciamo che questa unità non può che essere unità nella fede.
He said that the pursuit of full and visible communion of all Christians is one of his priorities as the Bishop of Rome. At the same time, Pope Leo recalled the close links between ecumenism and synodality and assured the delegations of his commitment to follow Pope Francis in promoting the synodal character of the Catholic Church. Turning to representatives of non-Christian religious traditions, Pope Leo XIV said our common path can and must be understood to involve everyone in a spirit of human fraternity.
Oggi è tempo di dialogare, di costruire ponti.
Today, he said, is the time for dialogue and building bridges. Following the path laid out by Vatican II, Pope Leo also highlighted the spiritual heritage shared by Christians and Jews and emphasized the importance of theological dialogue between the two communities. Pope Leo went on to note the growing commitment to dialogue and fraternity that marks relations between the Catholic Church and Muslims, saying an approach based on mutual respect and freedom of conscience is a solid basis for building bridges between our communities. Finally, addressing representatives of other religious traditions, Pope Leo expressed gratitude for their contributions to peace in a world wounded by violence and conflict.
La testimonianza della nostra fraternità, che mi auguro...
Pope Leo XIV concluded his discourse by sharing his conviction that the witness of our fraternity will certainly contribute to building a more peaceful world.
Contribuirà certamente a edificare un mondo più pacifico.
I'm Christopher Wells.
Cardinal Oswald Gracious, Archbishop Emeritus of Bombay, has called on India and Pakistan to find a path to enduring peace. And as Devin Watkins reports, tensions flared in late April after militants carried out a terrorist attack on civilians in the Indian-administered Kashmir region.
As a ceasefire between India and Pakistan over the Kashmir region continues to hold, the Archbishop Emeritus of Bombay has appealed to both sides to find a full and definitive agreement. Tensions soared recently after militants carried out a terrorist attack in Kashmir on April 22nd, killing 26 civilians. Both sides launched retaliatory attacks for 4 days until a ceasefire was agreed on May 10th. The next day, Pope Leo XIV welcomed the ceasefire between India and Pakistan, expressing hopes that a lasting accord may soon be reached. Cardinal Oswald Gracious, Archbishop Emeritus of Bombay, joined his voice to the Pope's appeal, saying it is time for peace. It is time to put an end to ancient resentments, he told the Vatican's Fides news agency. Ours is a heartfelt appeal for peace in Kashmir. He expressed hopes for a full and definitive agreement, which would be important not only for India and Pakistan, but for peace in the world. Cardinal Gracious said Pakistan and India share a common heritage. We are brothers, the same culture, traditions, thoughts, and feelings, he said. This is all the more reason to sit down face to face and try to address, through dialogue, the knot of the Kashmir region, which has caused us suffering since the time of independence. The dispute in Kashmir, added the Indian cardinal, is an ancient territorial dispute that has caused wars, mourning, and suffering. He warned about the two nuclear-armed nations descending into prolonged conflict, saying such a war could have devastating effects on the world. Cardinal Gracious invited the international community to organize mediation and an urgent diplomatic effort, one, he said, that is perceived by both parties as neutral. Today, he said, it is the duty of leaders to abandon religious nationalism and promote peace with realism. This is our hope. I'm Devin Watkins.
And continuing with a call for peace, the Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem, Cardinal Pier Battista Pizzaballa, joined his voice with that of Pope Leo XIV, who during his homily in Regina Caeli at his massive inauguration called for an end to violence in war-torn parts of the world. And as Isabella Di Carvalho reports, he specifically remembered Gaza.
Responding to the Pope's words, Patriarch Pizzaballa stated that peace is the answer. But he stressed that the kind of peace the world needs is not a political one or merely the absence of war. Rather, the only peace that can help the world plagued by conflict, division, and hatred is the peace that comes from Christ. The Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem reflected on Jesus' words to Peter, "Do you love me?" He said this became the paradigm of the Christian life, whose result is peace. He explained that if a person has love for God and their neighbor, then peace comes naturally. The Patriarch argued this is the kind of peace we all need, everywhere in the world, but especially in the Holy Land. Patriarch Pizzaballa pointed out that recently the word peace has become repeated many times. For many people, especially those living in places ravaged by conflict, the notion of brotherly love is difficult to accept. He said it seems abstract, far removed from reality. Yet, the Patriarch described the Pope's message as a call to the entire Christian community to stay united. He called for the sense of solidarity to come from love of Christ and not out of fear of the other. This kind of love creates a chain reaction even in the public sphere. In his Regina Caeli address, Pope Leo XIV spoke of the children, families, and elderly survivors starving to death due to the lack of humanitarian aid reaching the enclave. In response, Patriarch Pizzaballa stressed that we cannot afford the luxury of giving up or standing still. He argued that we all have the duty to help the local Christians, and he issued an unambiguous directive. We must do everything possible to bring help. I am Isabella de Carvalho.
Varsen Agabekian, foreign minister of the State of Palestine, was also in Rome for the Pope's inauguration mass. While in the city, she paid a visit to the Gazan children undergoing treatment in one of Rome's hospitals. And afterwards, she spoke to Vatican Radio.
Earlier on Monday, the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that Israel would take control of the entire Gaza Strip. It came as the military launched a new offensive against Hamas, which has been codenamed Gideon's Chariot. Israel has faced increasing international pressure to lift the blockade, which has restricted food, fuel, and medical supplies. The UN and humanitarian groups have warned of severe malnutrition among Gaza's 2.1 million residents. The Integrated Food Security Phase Classification reported earlier in May that around 93% of Gaza's population was experiencing food insecurity, ranging from crisis to catastrophe levels. Meanwhile, the French Foreign Minister Jean-Noël Barrot urged Israel to allow immediate, massive, and unhindered humanitarian aid. The Hamas-run health ministry said at least 67 people were killed and 361 injured in the last 24 hours. Louise Wateridge is from the UN Palestinian Refugee Agency.
To be quite frank, whatever happens now, it's not enough. The talks have been ongoing, the promises ongoing, the hope ongoing, but the reality is 11 weeks of borders closed, 11 weeks of people being starved, hospital supplies dwindling. Meanwhile, the population are trapped. None of my friends and colleagues can leave the Gaza Strip. They're there, they're stuck. When bombs happen, they can't go anywhere. There's nowhere for them to go.
Meanwhile, three public hospitals in northern Gaza are no longer operational, whilst medical staff at the Indonesian hospital in Beit Lahia reported Israeli tanks surrounding the facility. Israel said Hamas infrastructure near the hospital was targeted, but witnesses reported no warning or evacuation before the attack. Meanwhile, Benjamin Netanyahu's office has confirmed that an Israeli negotiation team is engaged in indirect talks in Doha regarding a hostage release deal with Hamas, which could include a potential end to the conflict. According to Israeli estimates, 58 of the 251 hostages taken by Hamas in the 2023 assault on southern Israel remain in Gaza. Among them, 20 are believed to be alive. Since Israel resumed military operations on March the 18th, 3,193 Palestinians have been killed and over 8,900 injured, bringing the overall death toll in Gaza since the conflict began to 53,339. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
That was Nathan Morales, he said, actually talking about Israel announcing it will allow basic food supplies into Gaza following a 10-week blockade. And now we will listen to Varsen Abayekian, foreign minister of the state of Palestine, who will talk about her visit to the Gazan children in Rome.
We're here for the inauguration representing the state of Palestine. But it was on the side, it was extremely important to come and see the patients that are being treated here. We thank Italy for receiving the patients. We have a large number, a relatively large number of patients who are treated in Italy, over 100, with about 200 of the family members. It's a number that has a lot of needs. And we understood from speaking with the patients that they are being taken care of in terms of the medical care, but there are lots of worries about what will happen to them after the care is finished. These people have needs. These people are devastated. They have come out from a devastated, all-ruined environment, and here, thank God, they're finding the relief in a way or another, but they still have family members in Gaza who they worry about, let alone worrying about the children that are sick here. So the aftermath of the care, the medical care, is also important, and we need to start thinking very seriously of that.
Are you in contact with the Italian government to solve the problem?
Yes, our ambassador here is in contact with the government. She speaks with the parliament, she speaks with other official entities. But we need to find a way that is a dignified manner that preserves the dignity of the people and takes care of their needs in a friendly manner whereby it reflects the needs of their own culture and the needs of, as I said, a devastated population.
That was Varsen Abayekian, foreign minister of the state of Palestine, speaking there to Vatican Radio's Roberto Cetera. And turning to the African continent, Cameroonian priest Father Valente Mabayen was kidnapped on May 7th with five other people, but the parish priest has now been freed. For more, Claudia Torres reports.
Sometime on the night between May 15 and 16, Father Valente Mbaibarem was released, according to an interview Fides held with Archbishop Fauste Ambassa Ndiodo of Garua. The priest has seen a doctor and is reportedly in good physical condition. He was the last of six hostages to be freed. Four were released before him and one died in captivity. Local press had reported a demand had been made for the priest's release, a ransom of about $42,000. The archbishop clarified that the archdiocese did not pay a ransom for the priest's return, but he said he did not know if others paid it. In the statement announcing the priest's release, the Archdiocese of Garua thanks all those who prayed for his release and invoked the Lord's blessing on everyone who worked toward this goal. Although the identity of the kidnappers has not been revealed, they are suspected to be part of the Islamist group Boko Haram, who began their campaign in Nigeria but expanded to Cameroon as well. The United Nations reported their actions have led to at least 350,000 deaths, some triggered by indirect causes like food shortages and a lack of health care. I'm Claudia Torres.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please visit our website, vaticannews.va, and our Facebook, X, and Instagram accounts, where you can follow along with our new Pope, Leo XIV, during all his upcoming events as the 266th successor to St. Peter. Many thanks today go to Gabriele Di Domenico in studio. And, of course, a special thanks to all of you for listening, and be sure to join us again tomorrow at the same time for more. In the Vatican, I'm Kelsey Gussie.